Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
The other thing is well, Matt understands it. No disrespect to Matt Nagy's playing career, because Lord knows I didn't have a playing career as advanced as his. He has no idea what Mitch is going through. And him playing quarterback at Delaware or in an arena league, he has no idea. He's never been in that position. And I know that he's sitting there with Mitch in the meetings. But to be fair to Mitch, I think Mitch could be like, nah, fam, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to walk through here and see the TVs, like people just killing me on television or on Lawrence's show on The Score. I don't think that you had to worry about that at Delaware, fam. Or with the Arizona Rattlers, whoever the hell he played for in Arena League.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That feels like I'm taking a shot at the Arizona Rattlers. I apologize. Wait, do the Arizona Rattlers even still exist? The AFL's gone, right? I apologize to whomever was offended. This segment here on The Score is being brought to you by Burlington Stores. Help spread the warmth! Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at any Burlington store to help your neighbors in need. As thanks, receive 10% off purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. And I know that Tony Metlin's coat drive for the Bears is going on right now, too. Coat drive. It's always great. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a couple of great guests that are going to join us in studio. We really, really like the in-studio conversations. We feel like it's a little bit more compelling than having people on the phone. And we like bringing in smart people to talk about sports, and we're doing that today. Deion Miller is going to join me in the next segment from ABC7. Jason Leisure is going to join me at 1 o'clock, as we usually do with Jason. We love having him be a part of our show. Before I get started on the show today, I just want to say thank you to you listening to the show. And I can't really go into depth on how I know this, but I do know that a lot of you are listening, and we are your choice from noon to two, and it's appreciated. And it's gratifying, because we do the show a little bit differently. We try to make it a podcasty feel, and we figured that people would dig that, but to know that people dig it is very, very cool. So I thank you for listening. Even if sometimes I get a little rowdy or we disagree on something, the fact that you listen to this show and make it a priority to listen to it it means a lot to me that what we're putting together is actually moving the needle, so to speak. So I wanted to thank you with that. One of the things I want to talk about today is, I don't know if a clarifying is a good way to say it, but I guess I have to, because even yesterday when The Score put out the video of me talking about where the Bears are relative to the rest of the NFC, there's still people who don't quite get the perspective that I'm coming from. I look at the Bears team and I see a team that's not very good. That being said, I don't know if you're them, and I'm trying to look at it from their perspective. If you're them, they can't punt on the season. The Bears can't look at it and be like, nope, we got absolutely no shot. Now, I'm not talking even from a mathematics standpoint, although once you get to a mathematical elimination from this thing, it becomes easier to look at it from the mosaic and be like, okay, we have some issues here, here, and here that we need to fix. My feeling is pretty simple. And I've had this argument with Alex Brown on the Football After Show too. Look, man, we're seeing the same thing. You and I are seeing the exact same thing when it comes to the 2019 Bears. But winning the game against Detroit was significant because had you lost the game against Detroit, then we could really get into the weeds on the big picture situation. Not that we can't now. We can talk about some of that stuff now. But we could really get into the weeds on it because their season, for the most part, would be over. But you win the game, and now you're 4-5. And I enjoyed people texting me last night and saying, hey, the Bears are officially in the hunt because they were on the graphic on Monday Night Football. And you kind of snicker at it, and you go, yeah, sure they are. But here's the thing. The team that's at the top of the in the hunt in the NFC is the team that you're playing on Sunday. Overall, do I think the Rams are better than the Bears? Yeah, I would give them an edge. Although, they have a lot of injuries, especially on their offensive line. What I'm saying is that you don't have to resign yourself to everything is over, everything sucks, everything's terrible. You can actually follow their lead on this one until Sunday. And Sunday, if they lose, then you can start looking at the big picture stuff with this team of how are they being put together from a roster standpoint. Is Matt Nagy actually a good coach with Trubisky? Are you going to pay that fifth year option for him? Probably not. But those are conversations that are more germane if they lose. If they win on Sunday, you have a team that's 5-5 and has a tiebreaker over an NFC team that is in the hunt for a wild card spot. And a game the next week that's super winnable for them. And you could see this Bears team put together, stack some wins together. We always talk about the NFL being a week-to-week league, right? The Bears are a week-to-week team. You and I are seeing the exact same thing, things that bother us. The offense doesn't look good. The defense is good, but not great. Special teams is kind of being hit or miss. But it's okay for you to go into Sunday's game going, man, I hope the Bears win. I'll tell you, as someone who does a radio show in Chicago, I would like for them to win on Sunday.
Yes, please.
Correct, Tony.
Please win. Don't be awful.
Right. It gives us an opportunity to bring more people into the tent, more people listening to the show. And the people at Hallis Hall will tell you, well, you guys, you breed on negativity. Only to a point. Like what I was saying with the Bulls. At some point, we're not going to care. Like being mad to just be mad is not going to be good radio. And we're just not going to talk about it.
It's so weird. It's like, you know, when people or athletes or management, they get angry that people ask tough questions, are demanding, you know, excellence. It's like, you better be glad this is happening, because the moment this stops, you're going to be so upset that nobody cares about your team.
Correct. But sometimes players and teams, because what they're getting told in house is it's us against them and everyone's out to get us. No. Do you know how important the Bears were to the media collective here in Chicago last year? Like, even when they're bad, people are interested. But the thing is that you'd rather them be good than bad. So I look at it as I'm not pie in the sky. I don't have any delusions of what this team is. But I'm telling you, if you were on the Bears right now, you would be thinking to yourself, hell yeah, we got an opportunity this Sunday. You had two guys on their offensive line banged out. Jared Goff's not even better than our quarterback. If you look at what he's done over his last season and a half.
Coin flip.
Yeah. Call heads, but make sure you say it clearly or else people get mad at you on Twitter. If you're the Bears, you're going, we have a chance to get back in this thing. We have a chance to extend our season another week. That's what the win was against Detroit. It was a chance to extend the season. And guess what? They did that. Now go beat the Rams. And I guarantee you, they beat the Rams no matter how they do it. If it's an Eddie Pinheiro kick at the end, if Mitch threw four interceptions and the Bears went all Arizona on you and won the game with special teams and defense, on Monday, on this show and every other on the score, people be like, hey, Bears are 5-5. What do you think their chances are of making the playoffs? And then we can reassess. Last week when we started, their chances of making the playoffs was what, 2.5%? I haven't checked, but I imagine that those chances went up after they won the game.
As long as you're on the graphic as in the hunt on Monday Night Football, we are all good.
Okay, Tony, I don't know if we should use that as a barometer, but I did think it was funny that people on Twitter last night were like, you know what? You're right. Yeah. I see it on the, like, me telling them yesterday wasn't enough.
No, they needed you got to have a visual with your presentation.
No, you're right. I needed to PowerPoint this thing and go, in the hunt. See? Bears, 4-5.
Back in it. Let's go.
They're at the bottom, but they're in it. Dion Miller is here. She's delightful. She's going to jump in and hang out with us, and we'll talk Bears with her next here on The Score. Don't stop Dion Miller and I are having a discussion about the Pedway because the last time that she was here, I explained to her how she could use the Pedway to get from Channel 7 to here, and she chose to still walk outside today.
If memory serves, you did tell me the correct way, except I did have to call because suddenly I was like, Lawrence, you told me I wouldn't have to go outside, and suddenly I was outside.
And then I had to come back down and go,
yes.
No, just go that way. And then you were like, oh, this is great.
So let's confirm what we've learned here. Terrible with directions. I am terrible with directions. And when I don't know, when I'm going somewhere unknown, like I'm sure I could have parked closer to where we are right now.
But our two stations are literally two blocks apart.
It felt like a mile and a half in 8-degree weather.
That's why I said use the Pedway. That's all you got to do.
I think the blood is finally coming back to my face. I'm so cold.
Dion Miller of ABC7 is here in studio. She is one of our friends. She is nice enough to come and hang out with us from time to time. You haven't seen the new studio yet.
Looks really nice.
Thank you.
It looks really, really sharp. I know it was a long labor of love for a lot of you. Yeah, shuffling all over the place.
You and David Hall did the show in the kitchen, right?
In the kitchen, which, let me just be real. I could cook in that kitchen. Like, that was sharp.
Yeah.
I could do some damage in there.
It's meant for that.
It's beautiful.
It's a demo kitchen.
Yeah. Not so much a radio studio.
No. It's actually more of a TV studio than it is a radio studio.
That's what we should do. Cooking with Dion.
Okay.
I'm in.
I'm pretty sure I could convince Mitch Rosen to make that a thing.
That would be super fun.
You and Maggie Hendricks, because Maggie is like our resident chef.
That would be awesome.
She's... like, she brings stuff in here sometimes. We're just like, come on, man.
Mitch, this is a real idea.
It is a real idea.
This is a real idea. I'm like really into this.
I'm with it. I think it works out. We could do like a whole like thing. We could do a Score Channel 7 like mashup type thing.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Mitch just is in. He said yes.
He's in. All right.
Granted, a couple of weeks ago, I said, if he made me program director, I would fire people. And he came in here and gave me the keys to the office. And so it's like, you're program director. So, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing he's probably okay with this. Like,
he is welcome to come in and partake. He could even like judge, give his opinion about the food. I just think that's awesome. Although I'm digging this, whatever this bar looking thing is right outside your studio.
Yeah, we have a bar now that's right outside the Score Studios. And I would have preferred another edit bay. But
tells you where my mind is at. I'm loving it.
Dion walked into the studio and was like, so when's happy hour? When are we getting that cracking? Maybe there's another segment we could do.
Oh my gosh.
We could do that for social.
Lawrence
and Dion's happy hour.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Do you imagine the conversations? Belly up to that sharp looking bar.
Uh-huh.
We could talk.
A lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff. It's one of my favorite things, actually. when I used to travel covering the Bears, I used to love to go sit at the bar alone and just listen to people talk and then kind of connect. And that it's like the best conversations are had over good food and drink. Yes.
I enjoyed being a fly on the wall sometimes where you go to a bar in a city. You're like, with me, it was the Bears mostly. And then there's like Bears personnel that are there in a bar and they don't see you. And you're just in there having your drink and you're listening to what they're saying. You're like, oh, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Have that on background now for the rest of eternity.
1000%. I pride myself on my eavesdropping ability. Like I really can tune in to what's happening around me. And I agree. I totally love that. I observe every, I mean, I think as reporters, we're kind of like trained to do that.
Yes.
Like to turn off our mind and listen and pick up on little things. But, oh, I love that too. Yes.
What's it been like covering this team this year?
Disappointing. And I wish I didn't have to say that. I was really excited, obviously, coming out of last year. I think everybody was. But then you look at the reality of what they were putting on the field last year offensively, and you can't be overly shocked that Mitch 2.0 hasn't actually shown up. I don't know that it's his fault. I just don't know that he has the ability to do what they need him to do on a consistent basis.
I find myself waffling between being very frustrated that he hasn't grown and having some sympathy for him.
Yes.
Because of some of the things that they've asked him to do. One of the big hypothesis that I have, and I would need everyone involved to be really honest with me to get a true answer on this, is I've felt that they've drilled into his head, and this we can prove because they've talked about it. Quarterbacks win in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You're going to win a Super Bowl by winning in the pocket. And I feel like I'm watching a quarterback that's thinking, as plays are going on, wait, they said, I have to win from here.
Right.
Therefore, right. If I leave the pocket and if I'm a running quarterback, that's not what they envision for the offense. So I feel like his gears are kind of getting stuck because there's been so much emphasis put on, you know, make the right read, make the right throw, like that sort of thing. I would love to know if that is actually affecting him.
It has to be because he is – what I have picked up on over his last 3 years is that he is a guy who is try hard, right? You tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it as perfectly as I can. I don't care if it is out of my character. That's what I'm going to do. And I feel like some of what you just said is on Matt Nagy, right? I mean,
yes.
that's he's so hell-bent on running the offense the way he wants to run it and the way he thinks it will, the only way he wants to win or the only way he sees it being successful, that you have to do what your team is good at. Run it out of the I formation. Like we all learned that 2 weeks ago that worked and you didn't have to shuffle your old line. You didn't have to do, it was working. But that's, we all heard the bite, right? That's not what I was brought here to do. Okay. Yes. But then you have to adjust. And I think that comes with head coaching experience.
That's where the sympathy or empathy for Mitch comes in for me, because to me, it's you're not looking at what's actually there. Like mm-hmm. Matt Nagy is still looking at what he wants it to be instead of this is what it is, man. Like it's this. Mm-hmm. So what can you do with this? And so far, I've been disappointed that there hasn't been more done with what's actually available to mm-hmm. him to try and win games instead of his vision. And he should have his vision of what the offense looks like.
Yes.
But in the offseason, then you can start saying, okay, there are some pieces that are missing from what I want to do. And maybe the biggest piece is the quarterback. But in the 2019 season, if you're trying to win games, if that's important to you, I don't know. if it's important to you.
Just throwing it out there.
You have to look at this guy for what he actually is and mm-hmm. then tailor something to that.
And I think that also he inherited this quarterback, right? So in his – and in his defense, you know, he did – what he could last year and set up that expectation. So, and Mitch knows it. I'm just disappointed. I think that's the best way to describe it. Just disappointing that it seems like the reigning coach of the year hasn't been able to adapt to the reality of the following year, of the following season, and the reality of what he's looking at on tape every week and still wanting to force his approach and saying, we're still going to try and win this way.
What's it like up there when you're up there?
The locker room has gotten quiet. I mean, there's days where there's nobody in there. And there were so many times during the Trestman era. I shouldn't laugh. I liked Mark Trestman. He was a great guy. Just not a great coach. But there were so many times where we would look around the locker room and I would be checking nameplates, right? Like, okay, who's here and who is this person? It's not quite that bad. But it's just gotten quiet. Like, guys will come in, grab something and leave. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody is consistent like that, except for Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson, veteran guys who have been through these roller coasters before and will show up and talk on Monday, talk on Wednesday, and be there again on Friday, yucking it up with the media. Those are the guys that are there typically. I think that it is kind of a feeling of that it, no matter what they say, that they're not necessarily owning what isn't working. I think that is definitely the feeling that a lot of us in the media get. And that comment last week about the TVs and the microscope that Mitch is under, and they all know that he is, I'm not sure that they're helping him much in that regard.
Yeah, I wonder about that too. And I was in the open for today's show. I was talking about how, you know, Matt Nagy had said, you know, I totally get it. I get, but what, and I'm like, you kind of don't. And I'm not one of those people that always feels like you have to have the exact type of life experience that someone else is to get what they're going through. But when Ryan Pace says, well, Matt played quarterback, it's not the same. Like playing quarterback at Delaware or in the AFL is not the same as being the drafted quarterback for the Chicago Bears in a losing season. There's a big difference in what that feels like. And I don't think enough. I thought that Pace was a little too quick to throw Nagy's resume out there at me instead of saying, yeah, you know, these are things that Mitch has to go through. And hopefully he will make it through. Your coach doesn't have the same experience that the quarterback has in this regard.
No, I would agree with you on that. As someone who covered one Matt Nagy as quarterback of the Columbus Destroyers, I can assure you the media pressure was not nearly the same as it is here. I can trust me, even when they lost the Arena Bowl in New Orleans, I can assure you the spotlight and the microscope and taking every single word he said and putting it out there, it was not happening.
Okay, all right, then you've opened up a whole new can, a line of questioning Dion Miller of ABC7. So what were those? Were there actually radio shows in Columbus that were breaking down Columbus Destroyer stuff?
No, but there were. So my husband Ray Crawford and I worked at a startup regional sports network called the Columbus Sports Network, and we covered the Destroyers. We carried their games. So we did magazine shows on the Destroyers and also the Columbus Crew and the Clippers. And we do a Buckeye show, you know, all the things. But so we were the ones that were always there with Arena Bowl. But there's another football team in Columbus that kind of reigns supreme all the time. So that was the extent of what I remember. I will say this about Matt Nagy. Same guy. I mean, he was the same positive, friendly, like easy to like guy that he is now. Same. Like, I don't think that is any different. And we have a friend that we've stayed in touch with who's been all over too. And he will routinely text me and be like, same Nagy. I'm like, you're right. That's who he's always been. Always positive, always looking at what can I move forward with this. That's why I think it's so frustrating that he sees what's not working and isn't making that change. Is so committed to what he thinks he wants to do with this offense.
He's very dogmatic, and that worries me a little bit because, and I know that the comparisons to Trestman are easy, but I felt the same way about him. Like, this is the way that we're going to do. Mike Martz, same way. This is what we do, so we're just going to do it. Even when evidence is presented, you can't. You're not going to be allowed to do that. Defenses are taking some of that stuff away. How do you then punch back? Like, what's your counter to that? And I'm waiting for that moment where I see Matt go, all right, here's our counterpunch.
This
is what we're going to do, and this is who we're going to be. The guys that I work with on Sunday, they said it really well. Olin said, they know what works. They just don't want to do it.
Right. Yeah, that is exactly accurate. And that's what I think bothers me the most about watching them every week is like, okay, this is an opportunity to take advantage of or whatever. I mean, there were literally, what, three drives on Sunday? Those three drives that were all hanging on, you know? I mean, it was.
And then the next four were punts.
Punts. Four or five punts all the way. I mean, they were. And the Lions still, Jeff Driscoll still had a chance in the final seconds. I don't feel differently about this Bears team than I did before they beat the Lions. I don't.
I don't either. But as I would say, as you walked in, I was talking about this. They still have a chance.
They're in it. I know. But to
yeah! You just scared Dion.
You scared the crap out of me.
What are you doing, Woo! Tony? You don't scare the guests.
Oh, my gosh. Did I visibly jump out of the chair?
I'm sure digital will have that video up a little bit later on of Tony invading us with sound.
Oh, no. I've stopped believing. Is that wrong? No, I shouldn't say that. It would be awesome. It would be awesome. It would be awesome if they won the next. I mean, winnable games, right? Winnable games. I think going to LA on Sunday night is hard. And I agree with what you said. Don't just play, like, don't embarrass yourselves on national television on a Sunday night. Don't, please, no, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Like, you know, I mean,
yeah, because here's the thing about that, and you're right. If things go sideways, particularly for Mitch,
yeah,
Sunday, I know that NBC will have a whole thing.
Of course.
They'll have a whole package of, well, we're not surprised to see this, and here's the sizzle roll of Mitch playing badly. If he thinks that the pressure was bad before, let him play badly on Sunday Night Football, and it's going to be even worse.
It's going to be even worse. And he's feeling it. He's feeling it. I think Nagy's feeling it. I was just telling Tony and Rick that I see it in the coach. He's getting, as Rick called it, the presidential age. Like, you can see that this year is much heavier, weighing on him in a different way than obviously last year did.
I got a request before I let you go, Dion. Mark Grody tweets and says, will you please ask Dion what sweet treat she will be gracing us with tomorrow?
Okay, so I love to call it baking for the beat. And Mark is such a gem because he always is like top notch, Dion. Like, you know, he's so sweet. And I love doing it because, you know, when we're all in the same place, we're not colleagues in that regard, but these are the people I spend way more time with than I do in my own building, you know, so I enjoy baking and bringing in treats. I'm not sure yet, Grody. I'm debating between something that would fit the weather, you know, like that is kind of, I don't know, rich, and I think that's what I do every
hearty.
Week. And hearty, yeah, and mostly men.
Oatmeal
so
raisin.
Lots of see now. I would be you and I would be the only ones, right? How many people you eat oatmeal raisin?
I will, but it's a last resort.
Last resort.
Yeah,
that's I like hoard those.
Yeah,
you oatmeal raisin. Lawrence.
You and Tony are in the boat by yourselves on this one. We even brought this up to Joe Madden, and he took Tony out to the woodshed. It was a hard moment for Tony.
Joe doesn't like oatmeal raisin.
It was a really hard moment for Tony because Tony thought for sure that Joe, the counterculture guy, was going to go oatmeal raisin, and he basically was like, "Get that oatmeal raisin out of my face! Bring on the chocolate chip cookies, and don't ask me about no dumbass oatmeal raisin."
Oh, oatmeal raisin, a good oatmeal raisin, warm cinnamon. Come on, tis the season, Tony. That's right. No, I'm thinking about something like apple pie bars or something that would be fall, but not chocolate, because I've done a lot of chocolate. But my sweet son has requested that I make lemon bars. He loves lemon bars.
I mean,
so I'm on the fence.
The lemon bars would be great. Like, even though the citrusy is a more spring summer type deal,
they're good.
You could use it. We could use a little bit of sunshine.
Oh, you're right. I will decide later. I've only had one bad catastrophe and then had to like remake something in a pinch because I was like, they're going to be so upset if I don't bring it. No, I don't think anybody cares that much. But I felt like I needed to deliver. And so I had to like remake something really fast.
Well, I'm glad that you were doing that for the beat. That's a very cool thing.
It's fun.
Dion Miller is terrific. You should watch her on ABC7, bring you sports stories. She's a fantastic storyteller. And if you like the House of L podcast, she was one of the first like early adopters to the podcast. And we did a great episode where you could find out even more about her, which is phenomenal. Thank you for coming to hang out.
My pleasure.
We need to do this more regularly.
I would love that. I would genuinely love that.
And since you're here, we have a $51 gift card for you for Hub 51.
What?
Yeah. Rich just put it. Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's what we do.
Look, I get excited about everything. David Haw will confirm. I get excited about everything. This makes me really happy.
Yeah. Hubbard and Dearborn. Go on over there.
I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always welcome to come back. Take Ray to go get brunch or whatever. And,
yes.
And thank you for
visiting.
One of
our favorite spots. Thank you so much for having me.
And take the pedway back to Channel 7.
Mm-hmm. I will. I've got more time now. I'm not in a rush.
All right.
So if I get lost, it's not the end of the world.
All right. Well, that's Dion Miller. You can follow her on Twitter at DMillerABC7. We need to take a break. I'm way late, but it's worth it because it's Dion. Back after this on The Score. We are talking a lot about what's going on with the Bears. The bottom of the hour, by the way, is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of the Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. Tony, can we load up that Bears draft video? Just, I like to, whenever I run across stuff that I think is really good that people might enjoy consuming, I like to share it. Like, for example, yesterday I was saying you should go back and watch the Gruden QB camp with Mitchell Trubisky. There's some interesting things in there that I think that will add to your knowledge of what happened in this draft situation. It's mentioned in the piece that was done by Dan Weider and Rich Campbell, the Tribune. It's really, really detailed writing about the process. And one of the things that Tony and I thought was interesting, and there's a visual component to this that is difficult. You need to see the tweet, but I think there's enough audio in there that you can understand what's going on. Inside here, they embedded the tweet of the draft room when they drafted Trubisky. I thought it was really interesting in a way to do multimedia very well by the Tribune. In case you still get the paper version, you wouldn't necessarily get it. So we wanted to play it for you. This is what was going on inside the room and with the conversations as they drafted Trubisky.
The NFL draft for 2017 is officially open. With the second pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello, Mitchell Trubisky is going to Chicago.
Number one quarterback for me, number one quarterback for Josh, number one quarterback for Mark, Dow's number one quarterback, over-the-top scouts number one quarterback, area scouts number one quarterback. That's conviction on a quarterback. Mitch, what's up, man?
John, how you doing, man?
I knew this was going to happen. You said, hang in there.
I had no idea. You guys kept me hanging.
You got to promise me one thing, okay? You're gonna drive your that beat-up car here that you got. All right?
I got it. I'm bringing it to Chicago. You got it. Without a doubt.
Don't change a thing with it, all right?
I won't.
We'll talk later tonight, man, but congratulations. It's a special moment.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Well, we're excited, man. We're super excited. We'd have called you before, but I'd go, Ryan, did you call him? He goes, no, he's going up on the stage.
I was waiting for the call, man. I'm glad I ended up in the right spot. We're going to make it work. It's going to be perfect.
I know Bruce and Ryan and the guys are going to get you out of here, but we couldn't be more fired up, man. Hope you are, too.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm pumped. I can't wait to get there and go to work. I appreciate it, folks.
I'm happy. Hope you guys are fired up, man.
That is courtesy of the Chicago Bears Twitter feed back on draft day. They put all that together. Texter says, I tune into this show daily, and I don't like being subjected to reality like this. Sorry about that. 773 Texter says, Lawrence, this is torture. Sorry about that. 217 Texter says, boo! Boo this man! Boo! It's when you hear Ryan Pace be like, yeah, everyone was in on this, man.
Oh, fam. When he ran off the list of how many people had Mitch as the number one guy, it was like, stab. There you go. Stab. Stab.
Yeah, you might want to change your room if that's the case. Like, that would – look, just reflexively, that would have been a red flag for me. Like, I would have been like, okay, we need to do more work on this because we're all coming to the same conclusion and we're probably right, but let's dig a little deeper. This texter says, after hearing that, they should all be fired. There's a case.
In the piece, they kind of were separated from like the management and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And then come to find out that John Fox's number one guy was Deshaun Watson.
And so was the quarterback coach that you ended up keeping.
They don't seem that dumb now.
The piece is really, really good. You should go check it. Weederer and Campbell did incredible work on this whole thing. This texter says, and the practices are going great. Bears fans, you're the best. You really, really, really are the best. Oh, my goodness gracious. We need to take a break. When we come back, our buddy Jason Leisure is here, and we're going to talk with him. He's got on a jacket and everything today. Did he know he was going to be on the stream? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. I told him the same thing. I'm like, suit? I was like, oh, something important must have happened at Alice. You can ask him about it.
All right. I'll ask him about all of that stuff coming up next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.